What he meant was that he would under no circumstances tend these prisoners during the coming engagement, and he was saying it as politely as possible. Chamberlain nodded. He strode to the prisoners. Any of you fellas care to join us?
The Reb's really coming?
The man said it wistfully, cautiously, not quite convinced.
They're really coming.
One man, bearded, stretched and yawned.
Well, be kind of dull sitting up here just a-watching.
He stood. The others watched. At that moment, a solid shot passed through the trees above them, tore through the leaves, ripped away a branch, caromed out into the dark over the line. A shower of granite dust drifted down. A ball must have grazed a ledge above. Granite dust had salt in it. Or perhaps the salt was from your own lips.
Chamberlain said, "Any man that joins us now, there'll be no charges."
"Well,"
another one said. He was the youngest. His beard was only a fuzz.
"No man will call me a coward," he said.
He rose. Then a third, a man with fat on him. The other three sat mute. Two looked away from his eyes. The last looked back in hate. Chamberlain turned away. He did not understand a man who would pass by this chance. He did not want to be with him. He turned back. "I'll waste no man to guard you. I'll expect to find you here when this is over." He walked down the hill with the three men, forgetting the incomprehensible three who would not come. He gave the three volunteers to Rule Thomas to post along the line. There were no rifles available. Chamberlain said, "You men wait just a bit. Rifles will be available after a while." And now the softer roar of musketry began opening up behind him. The popping wave of an infantry volley came down from above, from the other side of the hill. The Rebs were pressing the front against Rice's New York boys, the rest of the brigade. Now there was sharper fire closer to home. The 83rd was opening up. The battle moved this way, like a wall of rain moving through the trees. Chamberlain strode down along the line. Tom came up behind him, Kilrain above. Private Foss was on his knees, praying. Chamberlain asked that he put in a kind word. Amos Long was sweating.
"'Tis a hell of a spot to be in, Colonel. I cannot see 50 yards.
Chamberlain laid a hand on his shoulder. "'Amos, they'll be a lot closer than that." Jim and Bill Merrill, two brothers, were standing next to a sapling. Chamberlain frowned. "Boys, why aren't you dug in?" Jim, the older, grinned widely, tightly, scared but proud.
"Sir, I can't shoot worth a damn lying down. Never could. Nor Bill either. Like to fight standing, with the colonel's permission."
"Then I suggest you find a thicker tree."
He moved on. Private George Washington Buck, former sergeant, had a place to himself wedged between two rocks. His face was cold and gray. Chamberlain asked him how it was going. Buck said,
"Keep an eye on me, sir. I'm about to get them stripes back."
A weird sound, a wail, a ghost, high and thin. For a vague second, he thought it was the sound of a man in awful pain, many men. Then he knew. The rebel yell.
"Here they come."
He drifted back to the center. To Tom, he said, "You stay by me, but get down, keep down." Kilrain was sitting calmly, chewing away. He was carrying a cavalry carbine, a great roar of musketry from behind the hill. Full battle now. They must be swarming sickles under. Kilrain was right, flank attack. Whole Reb army coming right this way. Wonder who? Longstreet? He it was behind the stone wall at Fredericksburg. Now we have our own stone wall. Chamberlain hopped down along the line, telling men to keep good cover, pile rocks higher, fire slowly and carefully. Take their time. Have to keep your eye on some of them. They loaded and loaded and never fired, just went on loading. And some of them came out of a fight with 7 or 8 bullets rammed home in a barrel, unfired. He looked again to the left. Saw the bleak silence, felt a crawling uneasiness. Into his mind came the delayed knowledge. You are the left of the Union. The Army of the Potomac ends here.